I put it on mute. Really, I do feel blessed and privileged to be able to stand up here and just address you this morning and speak to you. And I thank Devin for giving up this pulpit for that. My name is Sean Cruikshank. I think my face is probably familiar to a lot of you. I'm the director of our camp up at Christopher Lake, and a camp that I love very much. So I'm going to plug it shamelessly today. We do have some beautiful-looking brochures. I said that right this time, Ian. And just thank you to the worship team this morning. That was just so great. And you'll see, yeah. And thank you. Almost every song was making me feel more and more and more confident about what I'm going to be saying up here, because it is all about standing on the rock of Christ. And in fact, where our theme for the summer comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 48, just speaking about the man who built his house on the rock, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit more about that today. I was a Baptist pastor in South Africa as well for many years, and so preaching is something that's not totally unfamiliar to me. For those that have heard me before, they would agree with that. They would think it is quite unfamiliar. But anyway, a lot of different pastors, will be preaching different sermons, and some pastors have different styles. Some will, like a good Baptist pastor, will have three good points that you can take home, and that's great. Some will have about 23 points. Some have no point whatsoever. I hope I won't be one of those. I just want to say today, I'm going to give you the end right at the beginning. I have one point to make to you today, so that if you do fall asleep, at least you'll have it, because most of you are awake. And everything that I say today is going to relate to this one point, that if you want to experience true freedom on this earth, you must base your life on the teachings of Jesus Christ found in God's Word. Or another way of saying it, you can experience real freedom in this life by building your foundation on the rock of Jesus and the teachings found in God's Word. So this is a message of hope that I'm here to give you today, and this is a message of hope that we're going to be giving to the kids, many different kinds of kids coming from many different situations over the summer. But it is also a message of caution, because there is another way of saying it, that unless your life is based on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His teachings found in God's Word, you can never be truly free. There's been a lot of talk about freedom lately. If you've been watching the news over the past month or two, or since Christmas, I am a little bit of a news junkie, and I was glued to the screen. I missed the whole Tunisia thing, but the whole thing about the revolution in Egypt, I was absolutely glued to the screen. And I just remember things that struck me most were when people being interviewed were saying, "I'm free. I feel free. That this ability to be able to protest even has just given me a sense of freedom." And they would ask, "Well, what does that feel like?" "Well, the fear is gone. I don't feel trapped. I feel free, and it's amazing. I didn't know how not free I was." And there was just, I can just remember the people saying, like, "I can be myself. You know, I can speak without fear of being interrogated or imprisoned." And you see, because within every man and woman, there is an intense, overwhelming desire to be free. You might remember those pictures, those post-revolution pictures in Egypt on Tahrir Square, when there were people just in the streets. It looked like chaos, but it was euphoria. Just this unspeakable joy. People dancing and singing and hugging each other, and just there was this sense of, wow, this is what freedom looks like. And I had two thoughts at that moment. My heart just swelled when I saw that, but there were two thoughts that went through my mind. One was, gee, that is just a little picture of heaven. That freedom, that joy, that is what it's going to look, a little taste of what it's going to feel like when one day we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb and just in our glorified bodies and just free in Christ, with Christ. The other one was that wow, where I live here in North America, we have some of the most amazing freedoms in the world. Just looking at what is happening around the rest of the world, it's just over and over again, wow, I really have a lot of freedoms. And do I take them for granted? Well, the second thing is, well, am I really free? You see, freedom is one of those biblical paradoxes. Now, a paradox, if I only learned this word in high school, so I'm going to be speaking to you. I assume everyone else knows what that is. So it comes from like the word parallel. You know, Greek, the para means alongside of or kind of next to or you know, something that is going alongside of, like parallel, okay? And doxa would be, you know, in this context, meaning an opinion or a saying. So a paradox is a saying or two separate sayings or two seemingly contradictory statements that on closer examination actually appear to be true or actually are true. So it's two seeming things that are seemingly different, and if you look at them closely, they're actually true. Now, the Bible is full of them. I'm sure you know many of them, but this concept of freedom is one of those paradoxes, because we have to be, as we read in Scripture, almost stuck on a rock. We've got to build our foundation on this rock, stuck, and then we're free. Paradox. We're gonna look at that. And if you have your Bibles here, please turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 48. I'm just going to be speaking about that verse, and I'm going to be telling you a little bit about the context around it. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, he, the one who listens to his words, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, that torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. I had the, a paradox. Never mind, we'll skip that slide. Okay. Did he put it on earlier and I missed it? Okay, well, this is an example, a silly example of a paradox. You probably won't be able to read it. This guy's busy philosophizing or whatever he's doing. And he says, I thought I was the most boring person in the world. But if I was the most boring, that would make me quite interesting. A paradox. And his cat's got him summed up. He's like, no, maybe you're just the second most boring. So, silly attempt at humor. I wanted to put up a slide of some of the beaches of where I came from in South Africa, particularly Cape Town. Now, Cape Town, if you've ever been there, has some truly amazing beaches. One of them is best viewed from the top of Table Mountain. So if you ever go and you look at that, you're going to think of me because you're going to go, wow, he was right. This beach curls around. It's called Bloberg Strand, and it is about 9 kilometers long of this pure white bliss, and it is a lovely beach. And there's a lot of lovely beaches in South Africa, soft sand, there's people playing on them, you can just sit and you relax and, you know, have your sun hat on or your umbrella. And I'm sure many of you have been to Mexico, you know what good beaches are like. It's nice and easy, it's warm, it's kind of comfortable on the beach. There's even in South Africa, around the Cape areas, there's huge sand dunes, and they kind of move around and stuff, but people actually go sandboarding on these sand dunes. We don't have snow, so, you know, that's what we do, or did. But it's nice, it's just comfortable, but it's, you wouldn't want to stay there. You wouldn't want to build anything on that. Now, there is also, at the end of every beach, is a rocky outcrop. And the rocks are a little bit trickier to walk on. You have to go a little bit slower. You won't see people playing frisbee on the rocks or running around, kicking a ball around on the rocks. It just doesn't happen. There's lots of rock pools, so they're very beautiful, a lot more interesting things to look at along the way. And it can be nice and cool to the feet, as opposed to that hot sand that you've been walking on. It's beautiful, and it can be dangerous if you're not anchored down. I used to go dive for crayfish, which are like lobsters, just off Cape Point, and it's very beautiful. But you've only got about a time of about 1.5 hours when you can actually go diving, because we don't go with bottles and everything, just snorkels, and the water is freezing cold all year round. And you've got about 1.5 hours when the tide is on its last way out and before it comes back in, because when you're in the water and that tide starts, that surge starts pushing in, it'll just throw you against the rocks, and it's horrible. But there are some beautiful and very strong lighthouses on there, and you've seen pictures of the lighthouse. Well, I don't know if you could put these lights off, because this is a little story. I want to see it. Just look at that, and look at that. See if you can see anything. That is a lighthouse in off the coast of Brittany in France called La Jumente. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But you will see by the door of that lighthouse, below the windows, there is actually, it looks like a little brown smudge. That is actually the lighthouse keeper. Now what happened, the story behind this, I'm not going to tell you whether it ends badly or well unless you've seen the photo and you know what happens. But there was a man named Jean Crichard, who's a photographer, and he was taking photos of the lighthouses. And the storm came up, so they were in a helicopter, and he's taking photos. The lighthouse keeper opened the door when he heard the helicopters to see. He thought it was the rescue helicopter to come and save them. Fortunately, as he saw, it wasn't the rescue helicopter. He quickly shut the door, because the next photos, I don't have them here, that water just comes around. It would have swept him away like crazy. But because his foundation, and that lighthouse, La Jumente, is on a foundation of solid rock, that lighthouse is still standing. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 is the culmination of Jesus' teaching. It is his point. That verse is the point that he's been trying to make. Build your foundation on my words. In other words, when troubles come, if you don't do this, if you don't build your life, your understanding, your worldview, your faith, everything, if it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, when the storms come, there's going to be trouble. And your foundation affects everything in your life. It affects your relationships. It affects your friendships. It affects your attitude to the church, to giving, your spouse, your children, your boss. It affects absolutely everything. So to put this in context for you, I said it was his teaching. His teaching's up until that point, then he makes the point. And then straight after that, he leaves and he goes to Capernaum, Jesus. And then there's an example of the Roman centurion who got the teaching that he had been trying to make. I mean, he hadn't been standing there listening to it, but Jesus says, I've never even seen in all the faithful, in all the Hebrews and all the Jews, that there is someone who understands my teaching and who has faith, like this Roman centurion. If you're not familiar with the story, he goes, the Roman centurion sends some of the elders to come to Jesus and say, look, and they plead on this man's behalf. They say he's a good man. He helps us out. He does all sorts of things to help us. And can you heal his servant? And, Jesus does, long story short. And I just want to go back to some of the teachings. And I spoke about paradoxes earlier. Well, Jesus' teachings in Luke chapter 6, in this chapter that we're speaking about, are full of these paradoxes. You're going to be blessed if you're poor, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You'll be blessed if you're hungry, because you will be satisfied. You'll be blessed if you weep, because you're going to laugh. When people hate you, great is your reward. You've got to love your enemies. Love enemies. Doesn't make sense unless your foundation is in Christ. You must bless those who curse you. You mustn't judge others. You must forgive, and you will be forgiven. You must give away, and it'll be given to you. Seemingly contradictory statements that on closer examination turn out to be perfectly true. So remember my one point that I was trying to make, that if you want to experience true freedom on this earth, you must base your life on the teachings of Jesus Christ found in God's Word. Well, how do I know that'll bring real freedom? Well, Scripture is full of examples. I'll give you two real quick ones. One, because Devin preached on this passage last week, and I thought it might be good to refresh that. In one of the servant songs in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, it reads, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness," speaking of the servant. "I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Just this talk of freedom, it kind of begs the question, you know, are we free? Are we truly free? If you look at the news, and I spoke about the freedoms that we have in North America, but if you look around you, it seems that there are people that are in bondage. You know, we don't have a dictator looking over us. We have freedom of speech and freedom of press and all that thing, but there is, we are enslaved in a lot of things. It might not be in this particular context too, as one of my friends in seminary preached a sermon on the three G's, the gold, the girls, and the glory. That was, and you can figure out what that was about, but it's about basically money, lust, and pride. And that might not be what you're enslaved to, but the freedoms that we have in North America have given us some things. They've given us incredible wealth, comparatively speaking, if we look at the rest of the world. I'm sure you know that. We have comforts beyond what I can describe. I speak to my mom in Zimbabwe and often and trying to describe what life is like here. And she was surprised that you could buy fruit all year round. And I was like, wow. She was surprised we could buy fruit at all, but then all year round it just blew her mind. We have self-reliance. If you work hard, you can be successful in your job. We have many friends, you know. Perhaps you're fortunate and blessed to have a wonderful spouse, one that you could choose for yourself. Maybe you have beautiful children. You know, we have a great pastor, and his foundation, I know, is built on Christ. And these things are not bad. Don't get me wrong for a second there. But there is a test to see whether you are free. And the test is just this. If one or more or all of the things that you have are removed from your life for whatever reason, if they're removed temporarily or permanently, where would your faith stand? The greatest example of this, and I think is a tragic example, is right now in Japan, there have been homes and villages absolutely devastated by a tidal wave that has come and killed many, many, many people. This morning, again, I was looking. There is an incredible before and after picture, and there's a before picture, and it's almost as if it's from an airplane, not quite a satellite, but you know, it can show all the houses in the villages, probably about 5 or 6 square miles. And then as you slide over, it shows what that looks like now. There's about 3 houses out of about 100 standing. They're all on, I guess, flood plains, you could call them that. They're all built and flat. Some of you might be tested now. I just want to quickly go back to that and mention that the CBWC, our denomination, is busy working right now on a mechanism whereby we as churches can give to this relief effort. You might be, and I'm sure that you'll want to, and you can give through the Red Cross and that, but I do believe it is important as a denomination to make a statement and say, we really care for what is going on there. It's utter devastation. And so we're going to be, if you have emails or if you want to contact the office in the next couple of days, that is being worked on right now. I can assure you of that. It's going to happen soon. Some of you might be going through real difficult tests right now. The storms, the waves might be lapping right close. Some of you have been through tests, real, really tough ones. And One thing that we can be assured of, because Jesus says so, is the storms will come. It's what is your foundation? Another beautiful passage about freedom is Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, 5, and 6. So it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. What a beautiful picture of freedom that is. And Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water whose roots go down deep. Whatever he does, you know, he yields his fruit in season, and his leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Anchored, but free. And I believe that with all my heart, that this is where true freedom can be found, on the rock of Christ. This is the wonderful paradox that we have in scriptures. To be truly free, you need to be anchored on the rock of Christ. And I just want to pray for you, and I believe that we're going to have one song and an announcement. Thank you, God, that we have access to your teachings, to the teachings of Christ. Thank you that we live in a place where freedom is not some ideal to be strived for, that we have an amazing amount of freedoms, but God, in spite of all that, sometimes we find ourselves enslaved to things that we do not want to do, or situations we do not want to find ourselves in. And I pray and ask that you would help us to understand your word correctly, to interpret it correctly, so that our foundation, our very lives, will be built solidly like that huge lighthouse we saw standing in the midst of an incredibly big storm. And God, we ask this so that your name will be glorified always in our lives. Amen. Go to the quest.